I would like to introduce tonight a person that has been hard at the Lord's work for a long period of time. She is the founder of her own ministries, Mary Craig Ministries, and she's going to be our speaker tonight. Without any further ado, introduce Mary Craig.
Is that on?
You're on. There you go.
All right. Are we dead tonight or alive? Okay. All right. Let's hope we're moving from life to life, huh? All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can come to you on the basis of the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. And we do so come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor in our time of need. We ask you, Holy Father, to forgive our sin, iniquity, transgression, trespass, law-breaking, covenant-breaking, unrighteousness. Forgive us of our iniquities. Forgive us of our rebellion, our hostility, our treachery, and our treason. In Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord, to come and cleanse all that defiles flesh and spirit. I plead the blood of Jesus over every person here tonight in Jesus' name, and I apply the blood of Jesus to every person in this room tonight in Jesus' name. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come in power tonight as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of the Word of the living God, and that you, Holy Spirit, would come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would reveal truth to us that we might discover it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Clap for the prayer. All right. Okay, that's enough. We got a list. We got work to do. I had this long message, okay, typed it out and everything. There's a few copies on the back if you want the long version, but there's not that much time, so this is the short version. And I'm taking it from, you have to excuse me, I've been to over 60 nations of the world, and I have to say the same thing in every place I go. I either can see you with my glasses, or I have to take my glasses off to read, all right? So that's just it. You can laugh. Everyone else does. Okay. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 25, it says, "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them or grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who has taken them captive at his will." The first point I want to make tonight is that if you're in need of recovery, and we all are because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we're all kind of in this humanity boat together, we oppose ourselves. We need to see that. When we have what we call around here hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we're opposing ourselves, those things. We're only hurting ourselves. We're not hurting our parents. We're not hurting, you know, I mean, not really, not directly. You're hurting them emotionally. And God has broad shoulders. But primarily, the Word of God says we oppose ourselves. We're our own worst enemies. And the second thing is that God has to grant the repentance. God, the one true and living God. You have to go to the highest power that there is. Now, I have to tell you a little story because I'm not familiar with everything here, but I was at a class that I was taking years ago at Florida Atlantic University, and I'm sitting out there, and I don't know why. I mean, I was older than some of my professors at the time. But anyway, I'm sitting out there, and this young person came up to me, and he started telling me all about an AA group, not a Celebrate Recovery, just regular AA. And I was listening to him and talking with him and everything, mostly listening and kind of grilling him, so I hope he had done some of his homework. And then he said that he needed a higher power in order to break his habit. Okay? I said, "Oh, all right, I know all about higher power." And I said, "What is your higher power?" And he said it was a tree. Well, yeah. And I was floored. I said, why would you go to something lower on the order of creation? A tree. I was so flabbergasted that I actually lost my car keys that day. I could not believe. I was like, why wouldn't you go for the highest power? El Elyon, the Most High God. You know? And I just couldn't get over that. Why would you even go into occult powers or satanic powers? Because Satan is only a creation. Why not go for the gold? Why not go for the creator? Why not go for the redeemer? Go for the Most High God, the God that to whom every other knee must bow, including the devil. Keep him under my feet. And it is God who has to grant the repentance. Repentance is a gift from God. Just like faith is a gift from God. Just like truth has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit and discovered by you. Repentance is a gift. Basically, all we have is words. We go to God in prayer. And we confess our sin. And then God acts according to his word. 1 John 1:9. And he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You have to desire that in your life. And repentance is a gift. Repentance is a way of life. You don't just come forward and say some little prayer and think that's it. I repent every day. I am in a process of repentance. That means I'm changing my mind. I have to, according to this verse, that God perchance, maybe, peradventure, at his pleasure, he will grant you repentance. He will renew your mind. He will enable you to change your mind as he changes your heart. Because God works from the inside out. He will change your heart, which changes your desires, which changes your mind. And the first step is that you will acknowledge the truth. This is the truth. Now, I spoke to Harvard Law School one time, one of the times that I spoke there, and I held this up and I said, this is the truth, and only one guy walked out, I was saying, thank you, Lord. I thought half the room might walk out. This is the truth. We have to acknowledge the truth. We have to say, this is true. This may or may, I don't know. This is the truth. God can say it and it's true. And every single person on the planet can be a liar and God is still true. This is truth. We have to acknowledge that this is truth. We read something in here and what is confession? It's not just a matter of confessing our sin. It's also a matter of confessing Christ. That Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is embodied in a person, and truth is embodied in the Word of the living God. Because Jesus is the Word made flesh. And we have to line up with the truth. We have to align with it. We read something in here, and you know, I mean, I've had people run out of the room. We don't like it always. When I was first a believer, I thought, I had so much repenting to do. I mean, there was just this list. It was just overwhelming. You can go to a passage like Ephesians 4, and you can look in there, and you'll have some in one verse, you can have a lifetime ahead of you of repenting and getting to where God wants you to be. One time I was talking in Ephesians 4, there's a verse in there that says, let him who steals steal no more, but go out and work something with your hands, do something good, work with your hands so that you have something to give. And I asked this group, I said, when is a thief no longer a thief? And I didn't know that day they had bussed all these people in and a lot of them were in prison. And so we had a thing, and they said, well, you're not a thief if you don't get caught. Okay, well, that's a position. That's a position. But according to the Word of God, and, you know, and then sometimes maybe you're just a thief in between jobs, you know, because the right person hasn't come along to steal from. I had a lady at a Bible study once. I didn't know. She was very well dressed, and I had stuff everywhere, and she came up to me afterwards privately, and she said, you know, I can't come here for a while, because she said, you're so naive. And she said, I'm a professional jewel thief. I said, well, thank you, God, that you let me know, because I didn't know. I didn't know. I was just glad God let me know. And I liked her. She was great. She was a professional jewel thief. That's what she told me. I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't even probably have known, whatever. But God knew. And so even in that verse, you can see you're not really different. Just because you stop a particular thing, just because you stop stealing, doesn't mean you're no longer a thief. You're no longer a thief until you not only start working with your hands. The hands that stole now have to work for a living. And that's not enough according to the Word of God. This is just one verse. According to the Word of God, but your hands have to do something good. Now in Romans 6, 7, and 8, it has this big thing. You have the members of your body, and you can either yield the members of your body to righteousness and serve the Lord as a little God slave, really, or you can take the members of your body and be a little host body for hell, that's what I call them, and serve the Satan. And that's what this verse says. Because until God grants you repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that you might recover yourself from the snare of the devil who's holding you captive to do his will. You're either doing the devil's will or you're doing God's will, and that's it. We're just a little holy host of heaven body, or we're a host body of hell. And we might go back and forth in the same day. And we have to abide. That's why we have to abide in the truth. We have to stay there. We have to stay there. It's not over until we physically die. It's not over. It's a struggle. But Hebrews 12 says we haven't struggled against sin to the point of shedding our blood. So we have to keep up the good fight of faith. We have to put feet to the faith. You can't just go, oh, keep the faith, baby. Can't do that. It takes feet. It takes a walk. And the Word of God says, recover yourself. All right. Definition of recovery. A good thing, you know, is, I don't know, find some dictionary somewhere and look up some words. Kind of interesting. Recovery, I looked it up. Now here, it's something that folks celebrate, right? I mean, that's what I was told. Okay. Recovery. It's the act of and process of getting back what was lost, stolen, left behind, abandoned, misplaced, uncovered, and exposed to evil. That's what the word means. I looked it up in the dictionary. The act of and process of getting back what was lost, stolen, left behind, abandoned, misplaced, uncovered, and exposed to evil. So how many of you tonight want to be in the process of recovery? Oh, come on, y'all better raise your hands. I'm looking. All right. Because recovery sounds good to me. Does it sound good to you?
Yeah.
All right. I like that. Okay. I got to turn back over there to find out what's next. All right. Recovery. Because if we're not in recovery, we're not able to be set free, to free ourselves. It says that we have to recover ourselves. God grants the repentance, and we then are in this process of recovering ourselves from what? The snare of the devil. How many of you in this room believe in a personal devil? If you don't, just let me lay hands on you. Because when the Holy Spirit moves, you'd be surprised what comes forth. Okay, the snare of the devil. Satan enslaves. And he's a liar. And he's a murderer. And he's a thief. He enslaves. He imprisons. And he puts people in traps. That's why it's called the snare of the devil. And he does a lot more, but we don't have time for all that. And the devil holds us captive. Has anybody in this room ever felt like they were held captive by the devil? Okay, then you know what I'm talking about. Because yesterday we had a young lady come, and she told me that she was addicted to crack. And I asked her, what is crack? So she told me, and she had to tell me about it. And this was her struggle, because in one point she was a believer, but in another point she didn't want God more than she wanted that crack. So who was the real God? Yeah, that's what I decided. Crack was the God. So from the real God's point of view, crack was what? Idolatry. You know, when you're going before the creator of the whole world, who with the breath of his mouth can say, live or die, it's not too wise to have an idol, especially an idol like crack. Now, really, I mean, you know, we want the one true and living God with us, on us, for us, and working through us, right? The devil holds us captive to do his will. And he's good. He's up to no good. He doesn't have our best interests at heart. He wants you to do anything but worship the one true and living God. He's out to kill you, folks. He's out to kill you. I've been on the hit list. That's what I call it. I've been on the hit list. And I was only, you know, lived through it by the Holy Spirit, by a direct intervention of the living God. Now, what I see when I was told the strategy, your 12 steps here. Now, this is really good. And I noticed that they're out there for free. Are they out there for free? They're out there for free. Now, that's a good deal. You know, you pay a price to the devil, you know, it's always a price. This stuff is free and it's good. And when our son Stephen came home and he was telling me his stuff, I was praying about it and I said, you know, I realized that what God gave to Bill Wilson, is that his name? Bill Wilson, was a strategy. God gave him a strategy, not just to break the power. He gave him a strategy to break any bondage, to break the power of bondage in a person's life. Deliverance from bondage. This is a strategy. I believe that it came right from the heart of God. How do you break the bondage? Even the bondage of sin. How do you break the bondage of the spirit of addiction? And what really overcomes addiction in the spirit world is one of the names of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of adoption. It's adoption that overcomes addiction. When God the Father adopts you into his family and you decide that you're not going to be a little rebel heart anymore and a little rebel kid, but you've actually got a father that you don't want to rebel against. That spirit of adoption, being in that family, The family of God overcomes addiction. So the bottom line is, we need Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way that God provided for us to get back to the Father. And I'm telling you, all of salvation is about how do I get back to the Father? How do I get back to the Father? How do I recover what was lost in the garden? How do I get back there? Because in the presence of God, you have everything, people. Everything. Now, the devil offers this stuff. I don't know. I never tasted it, but I know there's something out there called Southern Comfort, right? But it's a lie. It's a lie because the Holy Spirit is the comforter. So why do you want, and you can go to the waters of the river of life freely without cost. So, you can fill in the blank. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. The thing about the Holy Spirit, you know, is that He's Holy Spirit. He's Holy Spirit. The thing about God the Father is He's holy. In fact, He's holy, holy, holy. So when I first started walking with God and the Holy Spirit, I had to realize that if I want the Holy Spirit and He's holy, things had to change. Now, I first became aware of this when I was at my sister's daughter's wedding. And it was a nice wedding. It was a little church or something. And I was having a very nice time. And all of a sudden, it was the first time that I was aware that someone lives in me who's not me. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit within me started to grieve. And it was so embarrassing, I had to get up, and I went into the ladies' room until he got over it. This is the truth. Because the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And guess what? He has a mind of his own. And he has a will and a purpose. And for years, I was teaching the Bible. After teaching the Bible 4 times a week for 15 years, I was going, I would say, I'm going to go to church today, and I'm going to read my Bible now, and I'm going to pray now, and I'm going to do this now, and I'm going to do that, whatever, and I don't know whether it's Mrs. Spiritual or not, but anyway, no one's ever Mrs. Spiritual. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit manifested in my room, and the wind is like, there was no breeze outside, folks. There was rattling going on in there, and I thought, oh my, I'm in Acts. I'm in the book of Acts. It was a little frightening. And the Holy Spirit came and spoke to me, and I'm weird. I know I hear the Holy Spirit is a prophetic anointing, and said, I've been going around with you where you wanted to go, and I've had to walk in this place and that place where you were, and I've been hanging with you now for quite a few years. And from this point on, it's going to change. From this point on, you're going to pray when I say pray. You're going to read the word when I say read the word. You're going to say what I want you to say to the people. You're going to go where I send you, and it changed. Now, I've been in unusual places. Some places that I've had to go on a map and look them up. And I've had some unusual experiences, right? But I need the power of the Holy Spirit. We were praying for more love, more power. How do you get that? You yield to the correction of the Holy Spirit in your life. You yield. You yield. I was praying for a fellow one time for healing for him, and all of a sudden I hear, and I was kind of practicing at that time, that was years ago, practicing, And I hear in my mind, yield, yield. And I was going, yeah, this guy needs to yield. He needs to yield. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you, get out of my way. Get out of my way. You're in my way. Yield. You yield. And then the power started to go. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, and it only comes as we yield to the work of God. He has a job assignment. I don't know what you'd call it. He has his own job assignment. When you got saved, God the Father declared you holy, righteous, and without reproof, or unblamed, no blame, in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes along and he goes, woo, do I have a lot of work to do? And his job is to make you become what God has declared you to be. God declared it. He declared you holy, blameless, and without reproof. This is in Colossians. You can go read it for yourself. And the Holy Spirit's job is to make it so. Now, that's his job, and he's good at it. And he has a little more power than we do. So some people wonder, why are things happening to me? Because we need to yield. We got to go with the flow. All right? The last thing I want to say here tonight is really, this is just a little thing from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in there, it talks about the revealing of the Antichrist. The revealing of the Antichrist. But when the Antichrist shows up, which is the devil par excellence, it seems like the Holy Spirit retreats. There's that part in it too. And the devil has his day. But then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ shows up. Now here's the thing. Jesus Christ shows up. He shines forth. He shoots down his enemies. And he strengthens your faith. The devil. With the breath of his mouth. His presence. Amen. I think my time is up. All right. All right. I'm just going to pray that little prayer for you as we close here. Father God, I just pray over every person in this room and those that had to go to meetings or wherever they went, every person who was here tonight. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, that when the devil makes his appearance, that you, Lord Jesus, will show up, shine forth, shoot down your enemies, and strengthen the faith of every person as you slay the Antichrist and all things Antichrist with the breath of your mouth and with the power of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.